right. Thank you, ladies. Appreciate that very much. Take your Bibles, if you will, please, and turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 18. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 18. Proverbs 4, verse number 18. Looks like we're about there. Verse 18 says, "But the path of the just, the way, the road of those who fear God, who are saved, who are doing that which is right in the eyes of the Lord, those who are trying to follow what He has instructed. But the path of the just is as the shining light, the shine that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. So, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." I want to pray, and I started a message last week called Choose Light, and I knew it wouldn't get finished, so I kind of divided it up in two parts, and so we're going to do part two today, and I hope it's going to be a blessing to you. We're getting down toward the end of this series of messages. I think I might have one more that I want to do yet. I'll have to decide that this week. But let's pray. We're talking about choose light. Choose light. And we'll do part two here. Father, again, we thank you for your word. I thank you for each one you've brought our way here. And Lord, let's not walk away from the mirror being a forgetful hearer, but doers of the word. So, Lord, we need you to speak to each of our hearts. Give us what we each need individually, because we're all walking a different spot in life, and We've been growing, and some may be saved here. Maybe there may be some that are not saved. But Lord, I pray that the light of your word will give each of us exactly what we each need. It's amazing how you can do that. So we're going to put it in your hands. We'll give the praise for it in Christ's name. Amen. We spent our time this year on the fact that much of what goes on in our lives is determined by our own choices. That's why we started out here. Choose life. God gives us choices. Understand that the Lord allows things into our lives that we did not ask for directly. Although sometimes we ask for some things indirectly. You've often heard me hear say that my dad used to say, "You're cruising for a bruising, you're itching for a switching." And there were some things that I was asking for that I didn't know I was asking for. But apparently I was. And so some of those things happened to us. I understand that. But this world is full of tribulation, but we can be of good cheer, Jesus said, because he's overcome the world. And we can also overcome the world by enacting the overcoming power of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And faith enough to live out the faith by being obedient to the commands and precepts of God. There's some problems and issues come on us because of no real fault of our own, such as genetic health issues, or being born into a family that has lived or is living a wicked life. There's going to be many problems there come because of foolish decisions, maybe even of our own, though. And I would dare say that once we are adults and on our own, that most of the problems we have is caused directly or indirectly as a result of our own proud, foolish decisions. Many people who suffer affliction in life blame it on God or others, when they have really been foolishly asking for it by their own decisions. Excuse me, got hiccups. By asking for it by the decisions for years. Now, Deuteronomy 30:19, our passage up here, clearly concludes that life is available to us, but it is our choice whether we have it or not. We can live according to the statutes and commands of God and see God intercede and bless us above the curse and give us life, or we can choose to live as we please according to the lust of the world, with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and find ourselves battling the curse of this world on our own. Since God is life, then in order to choose life, we must choose God. How do you choose God? By receiving His only begotten Son as the Savior and that you need for life and for life more abundantly. No one cometh unto the Father but by Jesus Christ, because He's the way, the truth, and the life. We must choose Jesus. That's a start. Choosing Jesus gives us eternal life, but also gives us access to all the blessings of God, His guidance and direction, protection and provision. Now, how do we obtain those things? Well, by having the wisdom of God. So we must choose wisdom. This is sounding familiar. I'm hoping you can, by the time we're done here, I want you to be able to give me those points. So you choose life by choosing Jesus, and then you choose His wisdom. Not the foolishness of this world that thinks it has wisdom without God, but the wisdom of God. Wisdom is life to those that have it. I saw an interview with a liberal Democrat who proceeded to pronounce that all Republicans are stupid. And he said, and they make stupid choices, and they vote for stupid people. And he says, and here's evidence that they're stupid. He says, most of them still do not believe in evolution. Amen. I mean, he said that on national TV. I saw it, heard it with my own ears. I hate to tell you this. I know there's other things I could say here, but I hate to tell you this. We are not going to have bipartisanship. I'm sorry. See, well, I want to bring unity to the nation. Can two walk together lest they be agreed? So either we have to give in to their side and their opinion and their way of looking at life, or they're going to have to give in to God. Like we had to give in to God. You can't do anything else. We are diametrically opposed one to the other. It's just the way it is. We see one thing as truth, they see it as a lie. We see something as a lie, they see it as truth. And until hearts, I saw it again this weekend, you know, these commentators are talking about the moral decay of our nation. Well, I'm sorry, they just said the decay of the life of the people in our nation. At least they said decay, corruption. But no one really said moral. No one really said it's the heart. They're just complaining that we have all this crime and all these problems in our nation, and it's spreading further and further, and it's getting worse and worse, and just a more senseless all the time. And they're yelling and screaming and complaining, but no one's willing to say the answer. We've got to change the heart of the people. They think if we just have more police, we're going to be able to fix it. I can't remember now who it was that said it. It was Madison or I'm not sure who it was. Adams, I don't know, sure. But he said, there is no government strong enough or large enough to squelch the passions of the human heart. I'll paraphrase. In other words, we don't have enough police to control all the people in our nation. That cannot be the control. I think it was James Rush who said that we are either We are controlled either by a power from within or by a power from without. Either by the word of God or the strong arm of man. Either by the Bible or by the bayonet. Now that's true, except that the fact is, if we go back to the first quote, there isn't really even a government strong enough to save our nation from its own passions, from its own sinfulness. Since foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, then that means we are born foolish. And unless that foolishness is driven out of us, we will remain foolish. And if we want wisdom, we must be willing to give up our foolishness and be instructed in righteousness. So we must choose righteousness. We must choose instruction. Instruction means you're going to be corrected. Told this is not right, this is what is right. We have to be willing to do that. Not only must we choose instruction, but we must choose the right instruction. The world is glad to teach us the ways of the world, but the world professes itself to be wise on its own and ends up proving it is fools. We must choose the instruction in righteousness. All scriptures given by the inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. There is one more step now. After we choose to receive instruction in righteousness and are given the light of God's word, we have one more choice. We must choose to walk in the light, even as He is in the light. We must choose light rather than darkness. Now, last week, I gave you a couple quick points. They're basic, but here they are. Number one, God is light. 1 John 1:5, and then is the message which we have heard of Him declaring to you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. God cannot be a mixture of light and darkness. We cannot sit on the fence. Again, sitting on the fence is a very uncomfortable place to be. Don't try to sit on the fence. We cannot claim to have a walk with God if there is darkness where we are walking. Verse 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. We do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in light, we have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. When we decide we are walking in the darkness, we want to get out of the darkness, what do? Go for forgiveness of sin. He'll cleanse you, He'll put you back in the light. When we choose God, we are choosing light over darkness. If we choose darkness over light, we're choosing against God. There is no darkness in God, so we cannot choose both light and darkness at the same time and still choose God. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Stop trying to reinterpret those passages. That's what it says. You cannot walk in darkness and light at the same time. Number two, we found out that the Word of God is light. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Who was Him? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It was Jesus Christ. But Proverbs 6:23 also says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. God's Word is light. He tells us where to walk, where not to walk. Him telling us, stop walking over there, is a good thing. It's light. He's telling us what it is. Number three, God has designed for us to walk in light. This is not haphazard. This is not if you want to. He's designed it. It says, who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. He has called you to get out of the dark. If you're in the dark, it's because you chose to stay in the dark. See, well, I just don't know. Well, listen, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. God will give you wisdom if you're willing to take it. Problem is, we say, well, we don't even bother to ask sometimes. And sometimes we don't ask because we're not sure we want to know. Sometimes we kind of like it in the dark. Because in the dark, you can't see what we really are. And if I see what I really am, then I guess I'm going to have to own up to the fact of what I really am. And I guess I'm probably going to be pressured into changing what I really am and walking with Him and in the light. Number four, we found out last week, the cause of darkness. The cause of darkness. John 3:19, and this is the condemnation. In other words, this is our problem. This is what He said, this is your problem, all right? Light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. We have the light, but we don't want to listen to the light. We don't want to see what the light reveals. And then it goes on, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. In other words, shown to be wrong and sinful. But he that doeth the truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. I hate to say it, but the fact is that even some of the conservatives, by the way, conservative is not equated with Christian. Now, I would think most Christians are conservative, but not every conservative is a Christian. And I hate to say it, but I think even a lot of conservatives do not want to admit that the fact is our problem is a moral decay of the hearts of the people of our nation, because then even they will have to change things. I've listened to a lot of these commentators, conservative commentators. Some of them are pretty foul-mouthed. I mean, it's bad. Some of them I turn off because I don't want my wife to have to listen to that kind of stuff. And then they talk about going out and drinking. And dancing and all kinds of other things and the crazy movies that they watch, which, by the way, there's some of those you shouldn't watch either. Well, I'm an adult. I can watch whatever I want. Yes, you can. But if you're wise, you won't. And so there's an awful lot of that going on. And the fact is, they want to somehow get enough police together, get out the National Guard or do something to try to spare it. The problem is, as soon as they move on, the sin is going to move right back in. We're not going to have anything until we actually change the heart of our nation. Problem is, the cause of darkness that we've decided we don't need the light. We've walked away from the light. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, Romans 1. Number five, last week we found out God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Now, that's like starts where we kind of began this thing. But the point is this: we cannot walk with God and in darkness at the same time. If we walk in darkness, we stumble, and we do not know how bad we're stumbling. We can be spared from the dangers that lie in the darkness if we will walk in the light of God's Word, because God's Word is light. The reason we walk in darkness is because we chose to. But we can change our choice. His mercies are new every morning. We confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now this morning, we'll give you a few more points. Number one, light and darkness do not mix. Light and darkness do not mix. I've taken this from 2 Corinthians 6:14. It says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? When light shows up, darkness flees. Say, well, so wherever I am, if I'm walking light, wherever I am, there's no darkness. Well, I understand what you're saying there. The fact is, though, If you start walking with dark, you just walked out of the light. You aren't the light. God is the light. The Word of God is the light. We are to be a light that reflects the light of God's Word. But you're only going to be the light that reflects God's Word when you're walking in the light. You can't walk in the dark and reflect the light. Listen, that's why, for instance, they always use this. If you're saved, you shouldn't marry somebody who's not saved. To do so is to take a turn toward the darkness. Because that person's not that bad. I didn't say they were that bad. I'm saying you've decided you're going to walk closer to the darkness and further from the light. You decide a little darkness is better than just having God in your life. So this is my soulmate. Not yet. At least not yet. In fact, to tell you the truth, listen, you go back and read that whole passage. You're not going to agree together. You got to be careful. Well, when we get married, I'll go to my church and they're going to she'll go to her church. I thought you're one flesh. Well, we just don't agree on that. We just agreed not to agree. Wrong. Marry somebody you agree with. Can two walk together lest they be agreed? Well, I'm Jewish and she's Catholic. I never understood. See, now how many times I've heard that. Well, we got to decide which way we're going to raise the kids. No, you got to decide which way you're going to raise your marriage. Well, it comes from the same book. I know, but one stops before the Messiah gets here. You need to get these things. Listen, you need to agree. Every time, listen, if what appears to be light and darkness is mixing, appears like you can mix your light and your darkness, then they're not what they appear to be. Because light doesn't mix with darkness. That sounds harsh, doesn't it? So I'm walking in light, not if you're mixing with the darkness. When that which appears to be light mixes fine with that which is darkness, then that which appears to be light is not light. Now, you could be mad at me, but I'm telling you the truth. Now, maybe you're already married and this is where you are. All right, well, then you go back to 1 Corinthians 6, or 7. They're willing to stick with you, you stick with them. Don't you go get rid of them. Love them. You've made your decision, and you may be okay, but I'll be honest with you, it won't be as sweet as it could have been. I hate to even bring that up because they would make it. I'm not trying to drive anybody to be divorced. But I do want to tell, I still want to make sure these young folks know, you realize, get the right one. Wait for the right one. So important. Light and darkness do not mix. Number two, this is one of the reasons why it doesn't mix. Light reveals darkness and sin. Light reveals darkness and sin. Light keeps you from stumbling through life. Light is the revealer of reality. Light discloses the pitfalls in our path. And light warns us of turns in the road and dangers up ahead. You ever been downtown and you get in your car at nighttime and you start heading up the road, and the further you get out in the country, you realize, what in the world? I can't see. You never turned your lights on. You had the pole lights down there, but now you're up the road and there's no lights and you can't see where you're going. Then all of a sudden you turn the lights on. Oh, wow. Well, then you miss that pothole. How do I know there's a pothole? We're in Pennsylvania. And so, miss that pothole. Glad we got missed that. Man, here we go. You know, I guess I needed my light. I didn't realize. I mean, have you ever seen folks coming? It's already dark. and they're coming at you when they don't have your lights on, and you flash your lights at them, and you know what you're thinking? Why in the world can't they tell they don't have their lights on? They've gotten accustomed to the dark. And you know what they think? I can see. Ka-doo! I can see. Even though they're in the dark, I can see. We went down to see my mom on Friday, and we went down a little earlier, and it was starting to get dark. I said, well, I want to get home because I drove a Corvette down, and I'm going to get home before all the bugs get out, you know, and it's that kind of stuff. And so I turn lights on. Of course, they go poof, you know, on the front of the car. You know, they pop up like that. And I had a 65 Corvette, and had separate motors on the front headlights. They go, and so one time, I turned on them, and one went, one didn't. It looked like it was winking at me. But you need the headlights. Why? Because you need to be able to see where you're going. Light reveals the darkness. Ephesians 5:13 says this, but all things are reproved, I'm sorry, all things that are reproved are made manifest or shown for what they are by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest or shows things for what they are is light. Ephesians 5:13. If what you've got there covers up reality, it's not the light. It's the darkness. That's why people who do wrong want to do so in the dark. That's why the kid, when they finally obey and clean the room, they turn the light on and say, see, mommy? I did it. They want it to be seen. Listen, that's why folks don't like being close to righteousness. Because righteousness is light, and light shows everybody what truth is. And if you're not lining up with truth, you look bad. How many times, I mean, over the years, I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, they don't like this, or I don't like them come over because, you know, they're this goody two-shoe type thing, and when they show up, I just don't look very good. I look fine as long as they're not here. Well, you didn't change. You're not a different person. What's the difference? Truth turned on the light, and light reveals the reality. Proverbs 3:21, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes, his wisdom and so forth. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. Proverbs 4:18, well, I won't read that. We just read that at the very beginning. So light reveals reality. Light keeps us from making poor decisions in our relationship. 1 John 2:7. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye have from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which we have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past. In other words, Jesus Christ is here, and the true light now shineth. So we have the light of God's word. We have it here. Watch. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother will do something stupid. He that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Why walk in the light? How do you treat your friends? How do you treat your family? How do you treat your neighbor? How do you treat somebody who treated you badly? Now tell me, are you walking in the light or are you not? Well, see, that doesn't make any sense. It does when you're thinking God the way God thinks. If you're thinking the way God thinks, you're walking in the light. And let me give you this one too yet. Light readies us to understand the future. Light readies us to understand the future. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon the woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We're not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." You know what it says? Somebody who is walking in the light can see where all this is leading. They see things coming. This all the things that God that comes, it doesn't take us off guard. We can see it. We can see it. In fact, I read this. I didn't put this in my notes, but I read this for the early service. In 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, "And beside this, giving all diligence." So we're supposed to be saved, okay, chapter 1 up through verse 4. We're all supposed to be saved. It says, "Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith." Your faith in Christ Jesus as your Savior, add to your faith virtue. That's manly valor to do what it takes to get the victory. Knowledge, that's information. Knowledge, temperance. That's self-control to continue to learn to do right. Patience, that means you're going to do it over a long haul. You don't just stay for a couple days or a couple weeks or a couple months or even a couple years. You'll do it all long haul. And then it says what happens shows up is what? Godliness. God-likeness shows up. And if God-likeness shows up, it says, "Enter godliness, brotherly kindness." We just read it, brotherly kindness. If you start becoming like God, you'll start acting. If you start becoming like God, thinking like God, you will start acting like God does, and you're going to start treating others like God treats, with brotherly kindness. And then it says the brotherly kindness, charity, which is love. "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off," as if he's walking in the dark, "and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." He can't see afar off. When you're blind, when you're in the dark, you can't see what's down the road. You only see what's right there in your face. You see, so you're making a decision based on what you think is going to happen right now. But wait a minute. That right now happiness, or that right now, whatever you think it is, that's just for right now. That's not, who knows what's going on down the road there? You know, I want to be happy, so I married so-and-so. But couldn't you see that this person doesn't love God? So you're gonna attach yourself, chain yourself, if you will, to a person for the rest of your life that doesn't love God. Now, wait a minute. If they don't love God, they're walking in darkness. If they don't walk in darkness, they can't love with brotherly kindness. And by the way, that's what you need them to do to you. Love you with brotherly kindness. And we set ourselves up for a sad, lonely life. Number three, we must walk in the light. Now, hang on to me. I mean this. What good is it if the light reveals the truth if we do not walk in the truth that the light has revealed? You can go sit in the light and then walk right back out of it. We have to determine we're going to walk in the light. Ephesians 5:1 says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us." and hath given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye in the light. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable in the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. All the works of those flesh is walking in darkness. And he says, that's where you used to be. Get out of the darkness and walk in the light. You've got the light of the world living in you. Now live through that. That's why Jesus said again, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In that verse there, he talked about walking in darkness. So what do we have? Fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talking, jesting that's not convenient. What does that mean? Do you ever tell a joke that just hurts people? Well, yeah, I was just being funny. Maybe you were. Jesus wouldn't do that. You can tell a joke and not be dirty. You can tell a joke that's not cutting. You could tell a joke without chopping somebody off at the knees. Whoremonger, unclean person, covetous, idolater, children of disobedience. That's what it means to walk in the darkness. To walk in the light, what have we got? Fruit of the Spirit. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. So let me expand on that. Number four. What does it mean to walk in the light? John 12, Jesus said, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. He said, make good use of the light. You've been given light. Don't shrug it off. Don't set it aside. Don't close it up and put it on your coffee table. Walk. Well, I'm walking as much in the light as anybody else. Okay. And how's the world going right now? It's getting worse and worse every day. Why? Because they're not walking in the light. Romans 13:11 says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of our sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on all the armor of light, and let us walk honestly as in the day. Not in rioting and drunkenness, by the way, that's the darkness. Not in chambering and wantonness, that means shacking up and chasing every skirt that goes by. Not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. He says the light itself is an armor. You know, there's certain places in York City I wouldn't go at nighttime. Right? Some of them don't want to really go during daytime, but I'm not going to go during the nighttime. Now, I don't know for sure if anything's going to happen, but you know, there's a greater risk to go down there at nighttime than it is the daytime. So if I just decide when I go to New York City, I'm going to do so in the light, just that is a certain amount of protection for me. It's an armor. It's like the breastplate of righteousness. Just living right spares the attack of the world coming at me. Listen. I don't go to work, whether I had a church job or a secular job. I've had all kinds of jobs over the years. I wouldn't go to work and sit there and have a heart-to-heart talk with another woman and spill my guts to her. Way too many people do that. And what happens? All of a sudden, you get too close. And then she feels sorry for you. And then she listens to you. And all of a sudden you think, but she understands me. And she might even say, I don't know why your wife just doesn't understand you. You seem like such a wonderful man. And it goes on long enough. And by the way, I'm walking in the dark. And I can't see what I'm going about ready to stumble into. And then we say, blindsided me. That's because you were walking in the dark. I didn't know it was going to happen. It just happened. You were walking in the dark. Get out of the dark. If you were walking in the light, you wouldn't have done that. And then the next thing you're doing, you're coming to see the preacher. So I don't know, preacher, what the problem is, we've just grown apart. That's because your confidant, your other half, has not been spoken to in the last 6 months. You have replaced that person with somebody else. Can't do that, folks. Make no place for the devil. Make no provision for the flesh. If nothing else, no appearance of evil. Well, it's not a problem. Fine. Just don't do it. Don't even let it look like you're doing it. Get so far away from it, everybody knows you're not. So what causes a problem? I still work with a gal, and she just tell her. If she's such a wonderful person, she'll understand. You know, I really enjoy our talks, and I think I enjoy them too much. I hate to say it. And I know that might, I don't want to be weird, crazy on you, but I think I'm enjoying them too much. And I need to make sure that I'm saving some of those things for my wife, and I need to spend time with her. So I'm sorry, but I'm just, you know, you got your husband, I got my wife. I think we need to make sure that we've kept a distance. You don't have to sit there, you evil stranger woman, I'm going to get away, you're wicked, I'm going to get away from you. You know, no, she's not, she's probably any more wicked than you are. You know what I'm saying? So we're there. So what happens is, then the light becomes an armor. The breastplate of righteousness protects us. If I do right, I don't let somebody else get my heart. Let me finish up here. It is very dangerous. Number five. It is very dangerous to think you're walking in the light and seeing clearly and correctly when you are not. Some folks think they have been enlightened, and thus they are walking in the light. But walking in the light of the world is really walking in the dark. And again, that's where I started about way back. That fellow who said, well, the problem with all the Republicans, they're so stupid, they don't know how to make a good decision. I mean, they still believe in creation. I mean, not even creation. They believe in a six-day creation, and God rested on the seventh. How stupid is that? Well, I believe in Jesus. Where did you learn about Jesus? Well, it's in the Bible. Oh, the same place I learned about a six-day creation. You throw out my 6-day creation, you got, by all fairness, you got to throw out your Jesus too. You got to throw it all out. You're going to throw part of it out. You got to throw it all out. Who was it that did that with a penknife? Jehoiakim. At least he was smart enough. He read the Word of God. He didn't like it. He took a penknife, sliced it out, and threw it in the fire. And he read some more. He didn't like that. He sliced it out, put it in the fire. You know what? He kept slicing until it was all gone. You know, you're not going to believe any of it. If you're not going to believe part of it, you might as well not believe any of it. You know, folks like this say, well, it was just written by man, and you think it could be determined whether it's true by man. You. Well, you're just taking it blindly. I'm not taking it blindly. Read the book. You'll find out it's true. Read the book. He knows what he's talking about. It said that the life of the flesh is in the blood. While they were bleeding George Washington to death because they thought it was bad for him. It was good to get too much blood away from him. That's his problem. He had too much blood. That's why he was sick. So we're gonna draw off a quart or two. You may say, well, that sounds mean and arrogant to say such a thing. Just so you know, the world thinks and has clearly said that to not walk in their ways is to walk in darkness and ignorance. We are diametrically opposed one to the other. We cannot walk in the ways of the world and walk in the ways of God at the same time. I know that there's some places where they actually are the same. I know there are some. But there's an awful lot of places where the world disagrees with the Word of God. And if you decide you're going to take the world's word over it, over the Word of God, then you're walking in darkness. You know, there were for years and years and years and years and years, they thought that Jonah and Nineveh was just a myth because there was no Nineveh. Then in the 1800s, they had been driving past these bumps in the fields out there around Syria, and they decided they were going to see what was down there. You know what they found? Nineveh. Nineveh had been wiped out during the times of Nahum. God saved it the first time. 150 years later, they kept going back to doing what they were doing, and God destroyed Nineveh. I mean, wiped it off the map. Somebody found it. Over and over. Now watch me. Matthew 6, it says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. But watch this. The next verse, Matthew 6:22, the light of the body, what lets in truth, reality. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. What it means there is your eye is focused on the right thing. If your eye will focus on the right things, you're in good shape. But verse 23, if thine eye be evil, you've got an eye that's hurting you, that's bad. It's not seeing right. It's out of focus. It's not seeing clearly. It's got double vision. It's lost its depth perception. It has tunnel vision or has blind spots. Thy whole body shall be full of darkness. In other words, not able to make good informed decisions. Deluded. Watch. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? When you think you're walking in light, but it's really the darkness of the world, I mean, you're convinced that it's light. You've been enlightened. He says, boy, you're in big trouble. Because you are, and the thing, that's where we are in our society. There are certain people who actually, I think they truly believe against all evidence that the ways of this wickedness is truth. And that what we're trying to do is wrong, and it has to be wrong, and it has to be what's the word I'm looking for? Totally take it away from our society. They're so lost in the darkness. And then it says this: no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one or love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other, look down on. You cannot serve God and mammon. What's mammon? The world's philosophy, the world's program, the world's direction, the world's thinking. You can't serve both, folks. You're going to end up hating one. Well, why are Christians so vehemently against all the philosophy? Because that's what you do. You hate the darkness. And we shouldn't hate the people. Love the people to Christ. But the fact is, we don't want what they have. But watch this. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life that what you shall eat. Now it says, therefore, because of this. You should, what you eat, what you shall drink, nor yet what for your body what you shall put on. See, there are people saying, well, you see, I have to walk in the ways of the world because I got to make a living. I got to put food on the table. I got to put shoes on my kids, school starting. You know, I really don't have any choice. Well, God says, yes, you do have a choice. You can walk in the light, and God, who is the light, will provide your needs. Maybe not where you think they're going to come from, but he'll provide your needs. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? You can do it all you want, but you say, well, I've got to do that to provide for my family. By the way, you don't provide for your family anyway. And why take thought for the raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, don't worry about that. Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What are we going to drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. That's right. These people who walk in darkness, they're stuck in a rut trying to figure out how they're going to pay their bills. I'll be honest with you, I don't worry about how I'm going to pay my bills. If I walk in light and I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, I'm not doing things that God doesn't want me to do, then God's going to provide my needs. Watch. For all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient in the day is the evil thereof. If I will use the light to help me see, to make decisions based on what the consequences are down the road, I don't have to worry about my day-to-day needs. Give us this day our... Finally, Satan wants to keep you in the dark. If he can keep you in the dark, I'm going to stop right there. He'll keep you in the dark. This then's the message which we have heard of him, declaring to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so when we sin, we can stay in the light by confessing and forsaking. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us, so we're back to walking in the darkness. If we confess our sins, he's faithful just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we're back in the light. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. We're back in the dark. You decide whether you're going to walk in the light, whether you're going to walk in the darkness. It's your choice. It's your choice.